Chapter 36. Her name was Prisha. She was the 14-year-old concubine who had wept for her friends and not for herself when Gareth died. She'd hanged herself with a silk belt. She was naked, her clothing folded neatly in a pile to one side, all her beauty gone. Her face was discolored, eyes open and bulging, tongue protruding. Shit, running down her fair legs. Dorian touched her and found her body only slightly cooled. From his touch, her body swung lightly. It was obscene. Dorian rubbed his face. He should have known. The concubines had probably learned that Gareth's body had been recovered even before Dorian had. For the God King's bodyguards, the recovery meant a small reclamation of honor. To the concubines, it meant death. The former God King's wives would be expected to join him on his pyre. Only the virgins and the concubines the next God King desired would be spared. Dorian said he was claiming no one. The women thought they would all be burned. "When did you figure it out, Hopper?"
"Your Holiness?"
Hopper asked.
"I'm not sure I understand the question."
"Try again." Hopper cleared his throat, fearful.
"I was with the rest of the concubines. Prisha came into this room to fetch something. I had no idea."
"Try again," Dorian said, coldly. Hopper searched Dorian's face, his eyes wide, panicky. He must have seen something that satisfied him, because he said,
"Ah."
The mask of fear dissolved, and he bowed.
"I knew you were an Ursul after I told you that you seemed different. An eccentric slave would continue as before. A pretender would redouble his efforts to appear servile. What is your position within the God King's hands?"
Dorian asked.
"I am their chief,"
Hopper said, inclining his head. So it was as Janine suspected. Who better to keep an eye on the God King's people and secrets than a eunuch whose awkward gait made him seem a buffoon? Hopper was at the confluence of the God King's eunuchs, concubines, and wives, and servants. Through them, he had eyes on every important Verdmeister, Ethling, and general in the realm.
"How did you really lose your toes?"
Dorian asked.
"When His Holiness, your father, offered me the position, he said that would be part of the price. I welcomed the chance to make such a sacrifice."
He smiled ruefully.
"Being gelded, on the other hand, wasn't so welcome," he offered.
"Did you have the option to refuse?"
"Yes. His Holiness was always fair with us."
It was a new side to Gareth Ursul, a kinder side than Dorian had known. It was unsettling.
"Why didn't you expose me?" "Because I didn't have anyone to report to. And I didn't know what you were trying to accomplish. By the time I did, you had accomplished it. It was, if you will pardon my presumption, one of my few failures as Chief of the Hands."
No wonder he didn't know what I intended.
I didn't intend it.
Hopper swallowed.
"Your Holiness, I suspect some of the Ethlings and Verdmeisters know what I am. I guard against mundane spying, but I have not the means to stop their veer."
It was astonishing how Dorian had blundered into success. He'd kept Hopper in the throne room the day he had seized power. The Verdmeisters had come into the room and had seen not only a fearless Dorian, but Hopper off to one side, tacitly endorsing him. How much weight had that carried? Dorian suddenly felt sick to his stomach. He suspected it was a lot. He looked again at Prisha's body dangling in the room. Death was so common here that life wasn't considered sacred. Or did the cause and effect run the other way? What is your name, Hopper? Your real name?
I was ordered to forget. I'm sorry, sire.
My name was Vondius Hill. I thought Clan Hill was annihilated. Gareth had used the Krull to wipe them out.
The God King saved me from...
He hesitated.
From the flesh pots. He thought I had potential. I did my best to prove him right.
The flesh pots. So the Krull and their feeding habits were no great secret.
Vondius Hill. I will remember your name and the sacrifices you have made. Will you serve me as the chief of my hands?
Vondius bowed low.
I have questions for you. Where are my 200 missing Verdmeisters? Verdmeister Nef Dada sounded a religious summons when His Holiness your father died. He called all Verdmeisters to help him bring Kali home. Currently, your hands believe them to be in your eastern lands.
Eastern Kalador was sparsely populated. There were no major cities there, and hadn't been since Jorsan Alcestis had turned Treethel into Black Barrow.
They're at Black Barrow? Dorian asked. In its vicinity, at least. We don't know the exact location. Spies who've attempted to infiltrate the camp haven't returned.
Well, that at least was one problem that could wait. Meisters and Magi, Verdmeisters and Archmagi, had been smashing themselves against Black Barrow for centuries. Nef Dada, at the head of 200 Verdmeisters, was a serious problem. But at least Dorian would have until spring to consolidate his forces, and Nef wouldn't bother putting together an army. All Dorian's former tutor cared about was magic. Still, it was a problem that bore looking into.
Redouble your efforts. I want to know what they're trying and what, if anything, they've accomplished.
Yes, Your Holiness.
How many Ethlings are completing their Urdtans?
17 that I know of.
How many of those are in a position to form a credible threat to me in the next 6 months?
Dorian asked.
You must understand, Your Holiness. Your father kept secrets even from me, so anything I tell you is complete to the best of my knowledge. And I did know more than he knew I did, but I cannot have full confidence that I knew all of his Ethlings. I know that Muburu Ander lives and is attempting to subvert the wild men. I have reports that he believes himself to be some kind of prophesied High King.
Your father cared little about that. He cared more that there appeared to be some evidence of collusion between Nef Dada and Muburu, though he and I believed any association between the two to be tenuous at best.
Yes.
I can't imagine Nef letting anyone live after they'd served his purpose, nor would one of my brothers.
The only other Ethling I know about was one I was not supposed to know, and I never learned his name. He was part of a delegation of war magi that Shosendi sent to recover Kurok. The magi made it as far as Cenaria and witnessed the Battle of Pavil's Grove, then returned to Shosendi, satisfied that Kurok was not present.
Dorian scowled. He had been certain that some of his brothers must be attempting to infiltrate the School of Fire, as he had been sent to the School of Healing. But learning that one had been successful left the sick taste of betrayal in his mouth. He knew most of the magi that might have been sent on such a mission. Had he been friends with one of his own traitorous brothers? He shook his head. That was a distraction. Muburu and Nef were the real problem, and surviving until he could consolidate his men against them.
Very well, Hopper.
Thank you.
Hopper bowed once more, and when he straightened, he wore the slightly befuddled expression of Hopper once more.
Dorian? Dorian, I've been looking all over for you, Janine said, coming into the room. Dorian was shocked to realize that he was still standing in a room with a hanged child. For all the good things he'd gained from learning to focus, he didn't think being able to ignore the ruin of a young girl was among them. By the God, it was a travesty. And he'd sat here, blithely contemplating politics. What was he becoming? His stomach threatened to rebel. Janine wore a shy smile. From where she stood, she couldn't see Prisha's hanged body. She was dressed in a simple gown of green silk that was gathered under her breasts. "I've made my decision," she said, walking forward. "I will marry you, Dorian, and I will learn to love you as you love me. Janine, you shouldn't..." But he was too late. Janine saw the hanged, naked body, and the first expression on the face of the woman he loved upon their betrothal was horror. "Oh, gods!" Janine said, putting a hand to her mouth. "I killed her," Dorian said, and threw up.
"What?"
Janine asked. She didn't come to him.
"She killed herself, rather than be forced to burn on Gareth's pyre,"
Hopper said quietly. Dorian was on his knees. He blinked his eyes and grabbed a rag off the floor to wipe the vomit from his mouth. It was only after he wiped his beard clean that he looked at the cloth in his hand. It was Prisha's underclothes. They still smelled of her perfume. He vomited again and staggered to his feet. This time he wiped his mouth on his cloak and turned so he couldn't see Prisha's body.
"Hopper," he said, "please take care of her. And double the watches on the concubines. Janine, I need you to help me make a hard decision. It may have consequences for our engagement."